The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
There is much to talk about. We are entering into what could be a very difficult winter for so many, both with the inflation crisis that we have, with the energy crisis that we have, and now with the interest rate rises and all that will go with that. Before we get to that, big news, of course, from today and yesterday being the passing of Queen Elizabeth II. Have you any reflections on her legacy, particularly her legacy in relation to the peace process in Northern Ireland and the confirming of it?
To be honest, look, I mean, a family are grieving, and I respect that. And there's a lot of people who have an investment in the British monarchy, and they're sad, and I respect that. But I'd be dishonest if I didn't say that I'm not a monarchist. I fundamentally object to the idea of monarchy, to inherited power and privilege. And while, you know, I want to be sensitive, genuinely sensitive to people who are grieving, it frankly worries me that we might see wall-to-wall coverage for the next 2 weeks of the death of one individual when there are very, very pressing issues. And you know,
do you think she's an individual who, whatever about the format in which she reigned, who did good within her reign?
I just don't see myself any role for monarchy, right? Whether it's Elizabeth, Charles, or anybody else, the idea, it's celebrating institutionalized inequality and inherited power and privilege. And I'm sorry, I can't identify with it. I mean, I think it is an anachronism in the modern age. I think the wealth that is concentrated in the hands of a family that simply have it by dint of birth, you know, that to me symbolises what's wrong in our society. So without casting aspersions on individuals, and by the way, on the peace process, I think, the credit for the peace process goes to the people of the North.
I should be clear, it is not that she had a role in the process, but rather in the confirmation of its outcome by virtue of what was seen as a significant visit. I don't think anybody would credit her beyond that.
Look, I mean, you know, the relations between ordinary English and Irish people, in my opinion, have always been good. The problem has been political, and the role of imperialism in this country, of which the monarchy to some extent, to a significant extent, symbolises. So, you know, that's where my concern is. I want to see solidarity between ordinary English and Irish people. But, you know, for me, the monarchy is just an anachronism.
Well, just a note of breaking news. It's been confirmed now, all of this weekend's Premier League fixtures have been postponed, and tomorrow's matches in the English Football League are also off. In the same way, Lynn, as Richard Boyd Barrett is conflicted for reasons of his views on the monarchy, do you find any difficulty in focusing on the positives of Queen Elizabeth II's reign, given the Sinn Féin legacy and relationship with the British?
No, I mean, I offer my condolences to the people of Britain who are mourning the loss of the Queen, and also the unionist community that live on this island are also mourning her loss. But I am a Republican, and like Richard, I don't understand monarchies. They seem to be something that are archaic. But at the same time, that's a matter for the British people. If they want a monarchy, then that's up to them. But I do think that the Queen, in her latter years, certainly showed a commitment to the peace process. And when she came here, she did demonstrate that she was committed to that, and probably showed better leadership than some of the politicians. But I mean, there is people now who are mourning her loss, and a family as well. So, you know, you can only offer your condolences to them.
And in that context, Fiona, it is a remarkable thing that she managed to keep the level of public support for the monarchy that she did, because that is public support that ebbed away in a lot of monarchies around the world.
I think she's been quite an incredible woman in her own right, and she has always showed great decorum, great dignity and great integrity. And while obviously her family feel her passing most, I think it's fair to say that the state is in mourning as well too, and the state absolutely will miss her, and many people on the island of Ireland are in mourning in relation to her passing. She had a huge sense of duty and a huge sense of doing the right thing, and that wasn't just in relation to the state that she served as head of. I honestly believe that her place within the world was very important, And I think the reconciliation gestures that she showed here in Ireland in 2011 and in other ways in London itself, I think they were important. And I think they added to the affirmation of the Good Friday Agreement in terms of the way forward.
Are any of you surprised by the manner in which the Irish have reacted?
Relatively sympathetic, is that what you mean? To me, I think that is more to do with the good relations that exist between ordinary Irish and English people, which have improved, you know, from a very poor place maybe 20 or 30 years ago. There's fantastically good relations between ordinary English and Irish people, and that's a good thing. I don't think there's anti-British sentiment in that sense, but, you know, the monarchy and the politics of it all is a different matter. And, I think feelings there's different takes on that particular side of it.
Let us move then to the things that are going to be of significance at home over the coming weeks. The energy crisis into which we are facing and the rate at which energy prices are going up. There's a meeting of across the EU member states this afternoon to try to wrap hands around it. Lynn, are you optimistic that there will be any kind of solution found, and can a solution be found?
Well, what we're hearing wouldn't fill you with optimism. I think we're facing a very bleak winter currently. I mean, if for those of us who follow the energy market stuff, it's terrifying where it's going. And what we're hearing, the kites that are being flown certainly wouldn't fill any household with confidence that the government are going to take the steps to protect people. But equally at an EU level, I mean, we were talking about decoupling the price of gas. I raised it back in December 2020. In October last year, the government were one of 9 member states that formally opposed that.
That is where you decide it isn't the gas price that defines all electricity prices, whether that be wind or anything
exactly.
else.
Exactly. And I mean, it was Spain and Portugal were kind of championing this because they have a huge amount of renewable energy. But Ireland is quite good in renewable energy as well. And so it's bizarre that the state would have taken that position to oppose that. We've lost time now, and now the EU is scrambling, trying to find solutions. I hope they can get solutions. But the government also needs step up to the plate here and protect families in this winter, because it's going to be a very, very difficult winter.
And are you expecting to see blackouts, energy cuts?
I hope not. Certainly, I'm not filled with confidence. The Minister Ryan said 15% demand reduction. He hasn't outlined how that's going to be. From what I hear, it seems to be completely dependent on households carrying the can for that, as opposed to looking at other measures in other European countries where, you know, shop lighting is switched off after 9 o'clock. Big billboards, those LED billboards use a huge amount of electricity. I don't hear any measures like that is asking for industry and businesses to take on some of that demand reduction. It seems to be households. And I think households who are struggling to pay their bills are already reducing their energy consumption to the bare bone. So there's not much room for them to do more.
Well, when you talk about industry, there's a huge amount of power gets poured into data centres and gets poured into large industry in Ireland. Would you support the notion that if there is to be lights switched off, it should be theirs rather than the people in their homes?
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting that when it comes to gas demand, and it's the large energy users that are switched off first, where it's the complete opposite with electricity. It's your households first and then industry. This is mismanagement on the part of the previous governments, but particularly Fine Gael's policy of the red carpet for data centres without any strategic planning about whether the grid could take it. And we're now paying a price for that. And I think that they have to now ensure that the data centres are actually the ones who are carrying that demand reduction, the heavy lifting on it, absolutely.
If that happens, Richard Boybatt, would you have any fear of a long-term FDI consequence that big employers or big investors may look and say, well, you can't rely on them, therefore we'll go to Israel?
No. I mean, look, it's just unconscionable that the government are planning to build another 8 mega data centres, that it will suck up all the extra capacity they're talking about bringing, energy capacity they're talking about bringing into the system. All that will be wiped out by 8 mega data centres, which are don't create any great employment dividend, but which benefit some of the wealthiest individuals and the wealthiest companies in the world. So they're going to continue to make profits. They're going to be facilitated by this government, but ordinary people...
Although that is a bit of a long-term issue. On the short term, what do you think about what we're facing into this winter?
Oh, we need, I mean, people before profit have been arguing now for well over a year. We need energy price caps, right? They need to reduce prices to levels that are affordable. You put forward a bill before the summer recess, which the government, of course, are opposing. Although now, interestingly, what we've been calling for more than a year, price caps, is now being discussed by the European Union. It was dismissed by the government, and now the government, under pressure, because their policies have failed to address this incredible hike, which is going to really impose suffering and hardship on vulnerable people. And that's, by the way, true on a whole range of the cost of living issues. I mean, the rents through the roof. We have said we need proper rent controls to reduce rents to affordable levels. The government dismissed that, but their policies are failing. When are they going to acknowledge their policies are failing and protect people?
Are you talking about arbitrary price caps across the board, or are you talking about the kind of decoupling of the gas price from the general electricity price, or both?
Both. Absolutely both.
And a windfall tax.
And a windfall tax on these. I mean, it is obscene that there has been profiteering to an extortionate level going on. They're real winners in energy companies, fossil fuel companies, electricity companies making an absolute fortune while ordinary people are suffering and the government need to act, which they've refused to do
To that point, the windfall tax, we were told at the outset couldn't be done. It looks more and more like it's a practical reality, and there are more and more, I would have thought, who are saying, well, why aren't we just immediately doing it?
Well, look, the first thing I'd say is that Richard must have a very good crystal ball, because this time last year, I don't think any of us thought that we would have this particular situation that we have. When we look back...
We had a motion in the Dáil.
There were reports
that there was going to be a very difficult issue into the last winter in relation
to
electricity supply and data centres.
In fairness. And,
exactly.
And basically...
So it's not down to Ukraine.
But basically, Putin has weaponised fuel now, the way, and energy, the way he's weaponised food, the way he has weaponized migration. And that is the biggest factor in relation to all of this. It's not fair to say that the government hasn't done anything, because already they have invested 2.5 billion back into different types of schemes to help support people. And absolutely we have to. This crisis that we have now is almost as big as the pandemic in terms of its impact on people's lives and the likelihood of the financial cost on people. And so we have to have an absolutely extraordinary government response. And I believe
that mean energy
we will
price
have
caps?
That. I would hope so. And I think that, I mean, you know, whether decoupling was a good idea or not at the time, at this point in time where we are, we have to have decoupling. And I think that the meeting today in Brussels is going to be very important. And I would agree with all of the measures that are being discussed that the government should take on board. But with the budget on September the 27th, there is going to be an extra cost of living one-off budget to help address all of these issues. And I've no doubt that these are going to be very significant, and they have to be.
Okay, but to that thing of the budget and the cost of living, if, Lynn, we were facing into a situation where all that we had, and I use that term advisedly, but if all that we had was 40 and 50% energy price hikes, you'd say this is going to be difficult. On top of that, we have interest rates hiking up, so that people who may have been shielded by a tracker mortgage, if they were lucky, that's suddenly starting to climb for the first time. We have a rate of 9% inflation eroding the income that everybody has, and the energy costs are going into everything, from groceries to every... That's the perfect storm for people on the margins. It won't desperately affect the rich, but for those whose grocery budget and fuel budget is a big chunk of their income, they're going to be right up against it.
Yeah, and that's where we need to see the government when, you know, when Fiona says this is like the pandemic, we need that pandemic scale of reaction by the government. So Pascal Donoghue needs to be calling the banks in and telling them that they have to absorb some of these interest increases. They're not going to be able to absorb them all. But the Irish, the two pillar banks are in back in profit. A large part of their portfolio is mortgages. So they're going to be making money on all the new mortgages from those interest increases. So we need the...
But presumably there isn't a prayer of the banks agreeing to that.
Well, I mean, the banks, only a few weeks ago, AIB were closing down all of their banks around the country, and they changed that position because of public outcry and the minister publicly stating that he wasn't in favour of it. So we need Pascal Donoghue to call the banks in, tell them they have to absorb some of these costs, because the €200 energy credit is just going to be swallowed up straight away in anybody who's on a variable rate mortgage or a tracker mortgage.
Richard, you want
to come in? Well, look, it's clear on all of these things that the government are dragging their heels. It's half measures. It's tokenistic. And that's one of the reasons why people before profit, Sinn Féin, many others, trade unions, are organising for a big demonstration on Saturday, September the 24th in Dublin before the budget to put pressure on the government to take the measures that are necessary
but do you not
to
believe
insulate
that the
people
government
from the
is looking at it saying we will wait until the budget and release total package of measures and it's a one-off solution?
No, I think they have been dragged kicking and screaming because their policies are failing. I mean, we have been screaming for rent controls, proper rent controls, for years. They do nothing about it. We have extortionate profiteering by corporate landlords and vulture funds, and we have a huge homelessness crisis. We now have the energy companies profiteering and the banks. I mean, let's remember, the banks have been overcharging in Ireland mm-hmm. on mortgage interest rates for years.
Just
right?
on the matter of the rent controls, because it is always one that we get a reaction to, do you have any concerns that what that will do will drive the last of the single landlords out of the market because they'll say it isn't worth the candle if all of my costs are going up but I can't increase rents?
No, look, we cannot sustain the rents that are there. Ordinary people can't pay them. We have record numbers of people being driven into homelessness precisely because they cannot afford the rents out there.
But
so we
the
have
step
to
that
control
takes causes
rents.
People to come out of the rental market. That's a counterproductive measure.
What it simply proves is the market is failing catastrophically and the state has mm-hmm. to intervene in a big way. And if I can make this proposal to the government to consider, we now have possibly an extra 5 or 6 billion in corporate tax revenue. Now, the government will say, well, you can't spend that on ongoing measures because it's a volatile tax head. Here's the thing they could do is use that money to increase the public housing stock mm-hmm. now. Buy it up. That's a good investment. It saves on future current expenditure on HAPS, on RAS and so on. And it would deliver potentially tens of thousands of affordable and public homes. That would be a good investment to use that money that the government now have available to it.
I am conscious that it is a Friday and I'm conscious that we should end on something vaguely like a light note. Anybody got any plans to go to Garth Brooks?
No.
But I really
That's
hope everybody enjoys themselves.
Enjoy
I really hope.
Yeah. I was at the opening of a small business last night in Pine, number 57. And all of the talk was about Garth Brooks. And one of the ladies there was going tonight and absolutely couldn't wait and said she had many friends that actually had booked tickets for every one of the five nights.
But I still can't get it. I mean, it's something to the order of 10% of the entire adult population of the country are going to this.
Well, Lynn has an interesting statistic.
I think it's 16,000 of Monaghan. So yeah. I think maybe that 10% is skewed with the nine counties of Ulster.
Yeah.
Slightly skewing it.
I think we all need a little bit of light relief.
Well, and fingers crossed, Garth provides that
like
at some length this evening.
A live concert. And there's always a bit of nostalgia about his music. Like it makes you, you know, feel good.
We'll be neck deep in Stetsons on the north side for the rest
it's
of the
It's nice
today.
To think so many people are going to enjoy themselves over the next few days. I'm looking forward to the Robert Plant gig myself.
There you're talking. Richard Boyd Barrett, Lynn Boylan and Fiona O'Loughlin, thank you so much. That's Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD, Lynn Boylan, Fiona Fall, or again, Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin Senator. My apologies to you and to all of Sinn Féin, Lynn, and Fiona O'Loughlin, Fianna Fáil Senator. That's it for us today. I'll be back tomorrow morning on the Anton Savage Show. All of our items are available as podcasts you can listen back to on the News Talk app. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.